Hey, sorry if the audio quality sounds a bit worse than usual. I'd like to apologize for what happened earlier this week. So, poor podcasting software combined with some like manual errors made it so that I had to re-upload the entire podcast to get it to appear in order on Apple Podcasts, which is the main podcasting platform used by the audience of this podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the History of Haiti. So this is the second of two supplemental episodes I wrote. In this episode, I will be talking about how different countries viewed Haiti. So after the Haitian Revolution turned the Haitian social order on its head, the rest of the slave-owning New World became terrified of the idea of slave revolution spreading and taking hold in their country. In America, this meant that despite the efforts of abolitionists, the United States government refused to recognize Haiti as a country. However, many in the United States did look to Haiti with reverence, especially the freed black people. As I talked about last episode before, Boyer's program to pay for the African Americans to move to Haiti got about 6,000 free African Americans to decide to move. Meanwhile, in South America, many slave owners were similarly terrified of Haitian slave revolution. But, as I talked about previously, Petion's Republic aided Simon Bolivar and convinced him to free the South American slaves, allowing him to return and conquer the entire north of South America. There, a mild degree of racial revolution unfolded, resulting in a level of racial colorblindness, with these slaves eventually being freed. A mildly common myth I've come across is that these nations and Europe refusing to recognize Haitian independence was some kind of complete poison to Haiti, and that it, like, caused Haitian poverty. This is, as I just stated, completely untrue. While these countries did refuse to recognize Haitian independence, they all maintained trade relations with Haiti. Haiti was, in fact, exporting tens of millions of pounds of coffee and other luxury goods every year to the Caribbean, Europe, and the Americas. In addition, many foreigners visited Haiti and were greeted warmly by Haitian governments. Many English and American tourists came to Haiti to visit the palatial sites of Christophe's Sanssouci Palace and the Citadel. So one of the things the King of Haiti, Henri Christophe, wanted to do was get Haiti respect on the world stage. This was actually behind his decision to try to create a monarchy in Haiti. Meanwhile, many abolitionists in Europe wanted to see Christophe succeed to show that abolitionism could succeed and dispel racist myths about the inferiority of black people. Both the abolitionists and Christophe believed that Christophe could prove that a free society could succeed and prosper in the Caribbean, and that black people could run their own government. Christophe looked to these British abolitionists, like Clarkson and Wilberforce, with friendship because he wanted their help. For their part, they were willing to help Christophe and provide him advice on how to run Haiti. For example, one of these abolitionists suggested that Christophe that he encourage American immigration to create a middle class in Haiti, plans with which Boyer would soon pick up. They also unsuccessfully lobbied for European countries to recognize Haiti. They organized for foreigners to come to Haiti, for example, getting some teachers to come to instruct Haitians to help with Christophe's education projects. They got two British plowmen to come to Haiti to try to teach the Haitians modern agricultural techniques, although this really went nowhere. This is the first of many times foreigners would try to spread modern techniques to Haiti. Although many foreigners looked to Haiti with hope, many foreigners looked at the Haitian governments with disdain. Foreigners, like the Abbé Grégoire, who had lobbied for colored rights back during the start of the Haitian Revolution, thought that Christophe and his monarchy were ridiculous, much like most people today do. In addition, many abolitionists disliked Boyer, who refused their help, unlike Christophe. These included a French abolitionist named Victor Scholercher. To illustrate the problems Boyer's regime had, I want to end this supplemental with Victor's visit to Haiti. In 1841, Victor came to Haiti. He arrived in Port-au-Prince and observed Boyer and his government. In Haiti, Victor was dismayed by what he found. He observed that the LACU system had arisen in place of the plantation economy. He was surprised that for a black republic, the colored seemed to hold almost all the power. He observed poverty in the rural countryside. He was disgusted that the Haitians had little material wealth. He was shocked the women walked with bare chests. He observed that these Haitians had what he called a negative happiness, where they had no need to work earn money, so they avoided work and kept themselves in a state of poverty. He, of course, blamed Boyer for this. He blamed Boyer's unwillingness to fund education in Haiti. He also criticized Boyer for not being democratic enough and running an autocratic government. On this adventure, Victor met with many Haitians, including a young future historian named Thomas Madeau. One of the most interesting people he met was a guy named James Blackhurst. He had set up a farm using ideas created by the Haitian liberal opposition. He created an old-style cash crop plantation, but Blackhurst did it differently. He lived among his workers and did not exploit them. Instead, he educated them. It was a pretty successful, and he was able to find workers unlike most plantations. Here, Victor believed he could see the future of Haiti in the liberal opposition. Remember those guys, the liberals opposed to Boyer? Well, next episode, when we return to the main course of events, they will continue on their journey to revolution.